views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Global Galactic Actions for a New Earth. I'm here today with my very special guest, Bob Skeel, and we're talking about God, Christianity, and Christ in the New World. This is one of my favorite topics, and I know it's also a hot topic for a lot of people right now that are in discovery what their faith really means to them. And so I am bringing you a person that has had a lot of training in his background. And I'm really excited to share this special day right now. Today is December 22nd, and it's a very sacred and holy time for all of us. So I want to read to you, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's show, by the way, that I did with Bob Skeel, go to my website at corneliastephanie.com and look under radio, and you're going to see the archive of last week's show where Bob and I have a discussion about how he chose his new life in the new earth after 61 years of marriage and transcended loneliness and panic attacks. And here he is again with us today. Last week, I didn't get a chance to read his bio because I had some technical difficulties. And so I want to share that with you all today, which sets the perfect stage for what it is that we're going to be talking about. After working 7 years at churches in Minnesota and the next 27 years at small liberal arts colleges in Maryland, New Mexico, and Vermont, Bob and his wife, Joanne, moved to Laconia, Washington in 1987. Quite happy to settle down in one place. Following part-time stints as a yard man in a local boatyard, a baker in a neighboring town, and the facilities manager at the historic museum just up the street from his house, Bob retired to focus on writing and caring for his ailing wife. Since her death in 2012, Bob has continued with his writing, publishing his 8th book of poetry and prose in 2017. At the age of 90, he sees every reason to keep engaged in things that matter, such as writing. He expects to complete another book in 2018. Other passions include maintaining his physical and spiritual fitness, supporting caregivers whose loved ones are suffering from dementia, and participating in the life of a local church. If you were to ask Bob what he's most proud of in his long life, he would cite 4 things: John, Matt, David, and Susan, the names of his 4 children. They are making a wonderful impact on the world they inhabit. Nothing is more satisfying to Bob than that. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Thank you, Cornelia. Nice to be back.
Wonderful. And this, your bio, it's absolutely amazing. Reading about your life and the long history that you have had being a Christian, would you agree with that? being a Christian in your life?
Yes. That's been an issue that I've been working with all of my life in terms of my life in the church. When I was growing up and deciding on what my occupation ought to be, I finally decided the church had to be it because it was the closest thing I could think of that matched my own interest in the good and in terms of helping people and doing something worthwhile. I did not see myself going into business, not to downplay a business or commerce, but it did not seem to be the thing for me. The thing for me had to do with hope, had to do with the possibilities within the human being to amount to something, and that's where I wanted to work. So that's where I wanted to spend my time. So I started in that direction. And I was lucky enough to be able to go to Yale Divinity School and study 3 years there. And from there, as you say in the bio, I went on to serve two churches for a amount of time, 7 years, not too long, but enough to give me a taste of what that was and the vocational desirability of that for many people. I felt, though, it was not my calling. My calling was more in the collegiate atmosphere, more in a free give-and-take atmosphere of the intellectual life. So that's the direction I went. And I haven't been disappointed with that. It's taken me in many wonderful routes and helped me to have many, create many friends and have many wonderful discussions and times that I really enjoy Eve thinking about even now. So it's been a great life.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here talking with me so openly about this subject, because this is a subject that a lot of people right now are waking up and discovering what they had been told and taught in their religion is not true, and is leaving them feeling more separate than ever before. How do you feel about that?
I can understand that feeling entirely. One of the things that I decided, as I said to you earlier, was to move out of the church. I think it wasn't because I was totally unhappy with it. It was just because it was not meeting what I wanted to get out of my working life. So I looked at the possibilities for myself and decided on the pursuit of the kind of life that would have me working with a younger set of people, college age, and that turned out to be a delightful experience to undergo. I think as I've grown up, as I've gotten older, I've made the same distinction that so many people have made between institutions and the spirit, spiritual life and institutional life. And I can understand why, in some ways, the institutional life does not provide the kind of deep satisfaction that many people hope to find there. And but that doesn't mean that people who feel that way are not interested in the inner life, in the spiritual life, and in trying to do something that to bolster that interest. And they have found that in many different kinds of things that there are available to them now outside the church. And there's a lot of interest still in the church, and one of the things where that interest focuses is in what some scholars, other historians are calling the change in the church, the change that's taking place within the church. There's a group of people who really think that the church is always undergoing change, that with the Reformation that was led by Martin Luther back in the 15th century, was just one instance of it, but the church has always been continuing to change over time. And we're now, I'm told, undergoing another great change in the church, in the institutional church. And that change has to do with moving the authority, religious authority, from the institution itself into the authority that each person experiences in their own spiritual life. So the movement is from institution to the person. And this sort of corresponds to my own experience now. I have, as I said, grew up in a wonderful church situation with a large church, suburban church. I'm a suburban boy from the beginning. And I had all sorts of wonderful experiences in the church. None of the kinds of things I learned from others later who had not had a good experience in the church and had been, in fact, driven from the church. I did not have that experience. I had a very happy experience in the church and enjoyed it immensely. But the thing that I realized in this whole business, this whole journey of mine, was that the church was helping me to understand some important things about life. One of them was that to be a good Christian, to be a follower of Christ, it was important that you worked at helping others at any cost. The whole idea of Christianity was to be of service, starting with your neighbor. And that neighbor is, from what Jesus teaches, as you know from the familiar story, the Samaritan story, the parable of the Samaritan, that the neighbor is anyone who needs your help. And so I really grew up on that notion of being of service and still regard that as a high calling. To be of service to others is a major thing, should be in anybody's life if they want to experience the joy and happiness that they want.
So, Bob, we're gonna finish this conversation about being of service, putting yourself into the equation first, because part of, as you know, my belief system and what I teach is to in the new world is to be in service first to yourself, so that you're not running around feeling depleted, putting other people before you, because was part of the problem with, in my opinion, with Christianity to begin with, is that we never put ourselves into the equation, and we had to first learn to love ourselves and fill our own cup, if you will, and strengthen our own inner muscles and develop a relationship that we have with ourselves first and foremost, and then serve your neighbor and give from that overflow, because you have healed the separation wounds from your own being first and foremost. And I think that's the difference right there, is from the old world and the new world. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that when we come back from break. I'm talking with one of my favorite people, Bob Skill. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek has a special gift for everyone out there. To receive 3 chapters of the Knowledge Book as a special gift, send your email to mmjp99@gmail.com. That's M as in Mary, JP99@gmail.com now. to receive this fabulous, fabulous gift of the Knowledge Book.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin and now co-host Jeremy Nudell, Walking the Path of Freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit andrewmartin.energy.
Integrate spirituality into your everyday lives on Universe Soul Heart Radio. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Kathleen Johnson explores the concept of sensible spirituality, keeping you grounded, connected, and centered on the path to wholeness. Kathleen has dedicated her life to facilitating holistic healing and wholeness in others. Listen to Universe Soul Heart Radio and learn how to flourish, grow, and impact all we do on planet Earth. For more information, go to universesoulheart.net.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Everybody, thank you for listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm talking today with Bob Skeel, and we're talking about God, Christianity, and seeing where you are in this in the equation in your own life, and where your faith is, and knowing that this whole paradigm, the religious dogma, is changing. And like Bob was talking about before the commercial, the church is changing. And just like our politics are changing, there's so many things that are changing that are asking for a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of our willingness to move into the truth of our being. And that's what I feel this entire evolution is about, is moving into the truth of our being, into our true organic nature. And in part of our old world, we have always been, like we were talking about before break, we have always been serving other people from a place of a depleted state. And we had to learn how to first love the self, love ourselves unconditionally, love the wounds, love our past, love our life, love everything within our being back into wholeness. And that has been part of the inner journey. Wouldn't you agree with that, Bob?
I was picking up on one thing you said, Cornelia, that struck me as really important to understand. Working from a standpoint of depletion is not something Christians understand. I didn't understand that. I did not think I was working from a place of depletion necessarily, because of the two commandments that Jesus really focused on in his ministry, short as it was first to love God and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And the idea, the concept of loving God has within it this potential for not allowing yourself to be depleted in terms of loving your neighbor. But that isn't what happened with me, and it's not what I see happening with many other people. But in take my case particularly, experience I had was a depletion of a kind, working in the church and working with wonderful people. I just didn't feel that that was where I belonged, and I didn't feel that the college work was giving me all the satisfaction that I wanted either, though I worked very hard at it because I was working at a literary level, an intellectual level, trying to master my craft from an academic point of view, and that really worked out well for me as far as it went. But my feeling was it didn't go far enough. I was still found myself vaguely dissatisfied and wanting to do more. And with my own life and feeling more satisfaction from it. So that led me finally to begin to think about the mystical life, which I had studied academically and which I had looked at, but I had not thought to take personally. Where I was working was in my own life in the 50s, and when I was in my early 50s and middle 50s, where I was beginning to suffer physically, which a lot of guys my age, at that age, will experience. And I realized that I had to do something, and did do something about that, which was a great point of change for me. But again, it was physical. It was answering a certain need that I had. And I came up with a statement, because I wrote a lot about this, and that there was one thing that saved me. I even used that term. The one thing that saved me was the fact that I started running. If I hadn't started running, all sorts of things would have happened, because I was addicted to my caffeine, and I was addicted to my pipe, and oh, how I love those two things. Nobody was more addicted than I was, and I overcame that by running. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful change that was, but still, something was not the way I wanted it to be. So when I came out to La Conra and had this wonderful life here in this beautiful section of the United States, with mountains and water, and enjoying my life with my wonderful wife, and then even beginning to write, I still realized that there was something missing. By the way, it should be pointed out that, in all honesty, I was not attending any church during this period. From the time I moved to La Conra for 25 years, I did not set foot in a church. And it was partly because I just felt that that wasn't what would help me at the point where I was. Then my wife died. That was a shakeup for me. That was a turning point, which I talked about last week, which drove me to my very knees in terms of what I needed to do at this point, because now I was really lost. I was really not able to see where I went next. And so I decided that I had to work with getting myself back together, and by organizing my life in such a way that I had a goal. I was, as I said last week, I did not want to go on like this, not knowing. So I asked myself, as a widower, what do I do now? What do I want more than anything else? And I felt that was both to love and be loved. And I thought, well, and particularly in terms of love, trying to love in a way that involved no judgment, I was talking in terms of unconditional love. And so that's what I focused on. And that began to point me in the direction of a whole new direction for me, a whole new journey for me. A journey that took me finally to an empty parking lot, into Cornelia, and to my introduction to Cornelia's retreats and to her lively friends. And that led me to a whole nother part of my life that, in fact, had been missing. It was the life of the heart. It was the life of the spirit. That does not mean I was abandoning my mind, far from it. It just means that I was bringing my heart up to equality with my mind, giving it some room in my life, in my thinking. And I'm still working with that concept now. It's I think I've made some headway to the point where at least I'm beginning to feel somewhat at home with myself, because I'd never lived alone. until after my wife's death. And now I'm beginning to find another partnership in my mystical relation with God. And so who needs the church under those circumstances, right?
What I found
was that as I began to develop the spiritual life, thanks to Cornelia, I discovered that I was more interested in the life of the church. So I've come back where I started. I'm now a member of the small local church, 67 members, I think, but a sterling place with a lot of wonderful things happening. And I feel right at home there. I do not always feel at home with the old theology that comes out sometimes in the hymns we sing and other particular rituals that I find need updating seriously. But other than that, I'm feeling okay with that as I develop my own spiritual life. And I think it's been remarkably good that I've been able to focus now on myself, which I started out thinking was, given my Christian training, a form of selfishness. To focus on yourself was the last thing you focused on.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying, Cornelia, it's the first thing you focus on.
Yeah, and that's the difference. That's the difference between the old world and the new world, is that you have put yourself into the equation now. And actually what you're doing is going back to church. You're bringing God to church instead of going there looking for God. You're coming to the church and bringing God. The consciousness of God, the consciousness of Christ within you is being brought to church so that you can help elevate some of those outworn, outdated belief systems that religion has had a ceiling and have not moved beyond that ceiling. And that's what I see you doing, because I'm witnessing you in this expression, and it's absolutely amazing watching this unfold. That's why I know that you're bringing your godliness, your consciousness to the church. And I just think it's a wonderful thing. Everyone is receiving the blessings of that. And so guess what? We're going to take another break. It's just amazing how fast 15 minutes go by. And while we're on break, I'm going to be talking about you. Actually, Bob, have been helping me over the last 3 years. You have been helping me anchor in heaven on earth. You being the masculine energy and me being the feminine energy. And what does that mean? So for the last 3 years, I've been writing these daily messages and you've been editing them. And through our experience, our collaboration and our co-creation together, we've been anchoring in the highest form of consciousness from the masculine perspective and the feminine perspective within our own being, and then also together. And it's just been an incredible, incredible journey. I'm so grateful for that. And so on January 1st, which is what I want to talk about now, I am inviting the public to join in this Keeper of the Garden, in this course that I created. And so I want to pull it up so that I can invite other people to join us on January 1. It's called the Keeper of the Garden, so that you can lay a rock solid foundation, that you can lay your foundation on peace, because the peace begins within yourself. You being the peace yourself, you bringing that peace to the world. And the more people that realize that peace is an inside job, the world is an inside job, because that's where it begins, in our communities. So on January 1st, from January 1st to January 21st, I am inviting the public to join me with this e-course, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. The e-course is a 21-day Keeper of the Garden course, which begins January 1 through January 21. So start your year 2018 off empowered and ready to take on the world. You can purchase one for yourself or give one as a gift. There's one for $27 or two for $40. I want to tell you a little bit about, over the next 21 days, you will be shifting your paradigm so that you do not need to take your karmic past into your future with you. With your willingness and the guidance of this course and the 3 conference calls that I will be facilitating, you will be identifying and releasing anything from your life that holds you back and any negative emotions such as anger, resentment, sadness, shame, anything that keeps you from living in peace and joy, because every day begins with an expression of gratitude, all in the comfort of your own home. You are the keeper of the garden, the inner garden created by you. This experience will change your life, and you will be amazed at how wonderful you feel making peace with your peace. You choose to seed your garden with love. Through this 21-day audio process, you will first pull some of the old weeds, the negative thoughts, the beliefs, the emotions, clearing away the brush from the old world. And soon you will see the most beautiful garden blooming from the inside out. Your body, your health are vital to this. You're rewriting the story of your life. You know that your life and your environment that you create is based on the energy that you bring to it. You're choosing to seed this ground, this fertile ground, with powerful intentions and gratitude. The peace vibe is contagious. Daily gratitude, raising your vibration, includes 21 MP3 recordings with a workbook and processes on how to change your beliefs and work with your emotions. And at the end of the 21 days, you will believe the following about yourself. I am safe. I am creative. I am confident. I love myself. I speak my truth. I claim my intuitive knowing. I am unified. I am whole. And there is so much more. You can find out more about this course at corneliastephanie.com and go under course, and it's right there for you. So I thank you so much for being a participant in creating peace on earth. And so now I'm back with my guest, Bob Skeel, and we're talking about peace on earth. We're talking about unconditional love. We're talking about Christ and the church and finding new ways of living and being. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Bob.
Thank you, Cornelia. It's always fun to have time to talk with you.
Wonderful. And so now you were saying that you just recently started attending the church again and bringing your God self to the church.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of myself that way, but that's a interesting way to think about my life in the church now. I suppose it is different than when I first started out, first tour of duty, which was for 7 years in 2 churches in Minnesota, which was a wonderful thing in itself. But I certainly wasn't thinking at that point of bringing any sense of godliness or where I was to the church, because I didn't feel I had anything to offer at that point. I was just in the learning stage. Now I'm at the other end of that continuum. And yeah, it is true. I am bringing something to the church, I feel. But at the same time, I'm learning as well, because the minister there and many of the people there in leadership positions are providing me with a lot of wonderful insights about life and about their place in it. And so that's helping me as well.
Can I ask you, how do you deal with, the language that's used? Because that's a part that's really offensive to me, because it's so out of integrity. You know, part of the religion, as you know, that, you being a traditional per se Christian and me being a mystic, I've never studied religion. I've never studied the Bible. I don't know anything about it, but I have a complete relationship with my creator, and I realize and know that the Christ consciousness lives within me, and it's done through my own experience, and it's done through my own practice of the relationship that I've cultivated with my creator. And so I bring that energy into every experience, but it wasn't always like that. But part of my choosing this path is some of the terminology that is being used, like guilt or sinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, some of these things, they are so out of integrity with the truth of who we are as God beings, as Christ beings. Because again, we're not waiting for someone to come and save us, because we are saving ourselves. We are the prayer. We are the answer to the prayer that we are seeking. We're willing to be the peace. We're willing to be the answer. We're not waiting for God or Christ to come back, because we already are. We already are back. And so some of that terminology that's still being used in the church, like being a sinner or guilt, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, Cornelia, is just the terminology we've associated bad feelings with certain terms, and I think to a certain extent that's okay, that's understandable. These terms deserve a bad rap in some way, but when you begin to understand the dynamic behind it, it's just a different word for the same kind of reality that we experience all the time. For example, if you tell me from your mystical position, and by the way, I think of myself as a mystic too, a traditionalist and a mystic. I'm not sure what I do with that, but anyway, I walk back and forth across the bridge from traditionalism to the new earth, and I'm really happy moving back and forth like that. But when you ask me that question, that I know what you mean, because the minute I hear the term sin, I see that taken as a state of being for many people, and I think that is not the best way to see oneself. I think it's important to understand what that term means, and what it means basically, fundamentally, is separation from God. And so when you see it in those terms, it's an understandable term. It is something that's a single word to express a reality that you feel as well, even using your terminology in the New Earth, which is separation from God or separation from Source. And so there is that issue. But I really am quite happy to eliminate the term sin from my vocabulary anytime I have a chance to, because it tends to be negatively received. It does not help to be called a sinner. It does not help.
I love what you said, that the way that you're seeing it, that sin is separation from God. And since that is a core wound, it's a core wound of, you know, because most people, what is it that they really want? They really want a connection with their Creator. They really want an intimate relationship with God, not feeling betrayed by God, not feeling abandoned by God, not feeling separate from God. That's part of the old emotional energy that we're releasing out of our physical bodies right now. All this that is up on the surface is coming up so that we can whole and heal and unify within our own being and feel the unity. Because the truth is that we have never been separate from our Creator. We have never been separate. It's only the feelings that we've had. It's only the conditioning that we've been brought into to look for the Creator, to look for God outside of ourselves, to wait for us being saved, to wait for the second coming, to look outside of ourselves, when the whole time you've been here, this whole time. You have been here. God has been here. God is always here.
I love what you're saying, Cornelia, and it reminds me of one thing I always remind myself of all the time, every day, as part of my meditation, as part of my effort to try to live spiritually. And that is to remember that we have choice as people with free wills. We have a choice about whether we want to do anything or not. If we want to be spiritual or not, if we want to pursue spiritual truth or not. And I think the use of the term choice, that we have a choice in all that we undertake, is really an important thing to understand. And I came I came to the conclusion that I have a choice and I'm making it. A new choice that I really hadn't made ever before. And that was the choice to see myself as a child of God. That is nothing special when you think about it. That is an effort to describe how I see myself in relation to the universe. I see myself as a product, like everyone else, of the evolutionary progress that we're making as a world. I see myself as part of that evolution, and I see as part of that evolution that I am a as they say in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, made in the image of God, and that as such, I have certain characteristics that are important to understand. I have the ability to love. I have the ability to create. I have the ability to heal. And I feel that what's important for me is to be conscious of that and try to speak with gratitude about the fact that I do possess those things, and then to do all I can to tap into those capacities and to make some of them of it. And so I'm seeing in that connection, my definition of God then becomes much more internal, much more meaningful to me. It's not an abstract form. It does not take an abstraction. It is an internal thing that is seen in terms of force, in terms of energy, in terms of light. And the whole concept of God as a being out there someplace it completely evaporates. It's all within me now, given by God, to be sure, but part of the evolutionary process. So my whole feeling now is, my offering to the church, if you will, is to pull God inside as well and to make it part of my life and part of every other person's life within the body of Christ, working from the inside out and not be preoccupied. Yeah.
I love that. And like I said earlier, everybody bringing God to the church. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And imagine if all the people were thinking that at church, were feeling that they are part of God, they are God, they are children of God, and they're now bringing that to the community, and everyone being awake and using their energy, their light, their love to create amazing things in the world, instead of feeling so bad about guilt and sin and all the other dogma that has that's just heavy and old and needs to be left behind. And that's part of the reason why all of that is changing. And so I want to thank you for bringing your mystic to the church and assisting them in their evolution as well. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi.
Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Your happiness is your choice on Natural Peace Radio. Follow Sarah Van Rieswijk as she addresses the power of emotions. Each month, Sarah covers different topics as she helps listeners activate their energetic spark and create powerful energy and amazing opportunities. Manifest your desires with Natural Peace Radio. For more information on Sarah and her work, visit naturalpeaceliving.com.
Tune into the wisdom of your soul for guidance on living a joyful life. On Soul Wisdom Radio, Wendy will provide inspiration to raise your vibration and connect with your higher self and guides. Learn how to balance your ego and to progress spiritually on Soul Wisdom Radio with Wendy Rose Williams. Visit WendyRoseWilliams.com or Transformation Talk Radio to learn more about a healing session with Wendy and her events and publications.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I have my special guest, Bob Skeel, with me, and I want to show you this. Take a look at this. This is a $100 bill, and I want you to call into the radio show right now at 1-800-930-2819 because I want to give this $100 bill to you. So give us a call at 1-800-930-2819. And when you call in to claim it, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do to get it. Okay. And so the other thing I want to bring up is I have a few events that are coming up next week that I want to remind everybody about. Yesterday, I received a phone call from the senior executive producer of the Dr. Pat Show. And she invited me to, if I wanted to be a host for the Dr. Pat Show next week, Tuesday at 11 a.m. And when she called me, I said, wow, I had to look at my schedule to see it's the day after Christmas. And I felt like it was such an honor that I was invited to step into the shoes of Dr. Pat and host on her program. So last night I put together this show, and I want you to put it on your calendar and join me next week because I'd love to have some audience participation. So this is what I wrote out. All hearts on deck as we bring closure to 2017, making peace, offering forgiveness and compassion for all the challenges that life brought us. Cornelia will lead a powerful collective release process so that we can usher in our shiny new blueprints on a clear foundation. There will be a guided meditation so that we can build our new world on the principles of peace, balance, and joy. Cornelia will invite you to choose your highest reality that you're ready to live and take action on in practical ways, knowing full well that you are the creator of your reality and you're not settling for anything less than the best for yourself. You're ready to manifest the miracles you came here to experience and live the life you dreamed of. Call in at 1-800-930-2819 next Tuesday at 11 o'clock and share with the world your voice, what you're grateful for, and your new word for 2018. That's on Tuesday. And then on Friday, I have my show that I'm that runs every Friday, 12 noon Pacific time. And I'm bringing on the author of The Magic of Finding Love and Peace. Now, take a look at this book. This book is absolutely incredible. It's got so many beautiful images, and this so much information in here about angels, about magic, about peace, and it needs to be on every coffee table. Tom Lombroso and Caroline are the authors of this book, The Magic of Finding Love and Peace. And Tom has generously offered all of the listeners that are going to tune in next week to the Cornelia Stephanie Show a copy of his book. Up to 100 callers are going to receive this absolutely fantastic book next week, and including shipping and postage. He's going to take care of it free of charge. And I want to, let's see if I have his information up about what we're going to be talking about. Let's take a look here. We're going to be talking about his experience, about what his experience is, and his life about finding love, magic, and peace. And he's going to be giving our audience a copy of his book. So next Friday at 12 noon Pacific time, make sure you tune in and go to CorneliaStephanieVIP.com and join my online membership portal, a global online community, a place for you to share your brilliance, share your gifts, and be part of co-creating heaven on earth together. And so now my guest Bob Skeel and I were just about ready to wrap up this show. We're going to talk about, I have one more question for you, Bob, and there's many more, because I want you to come back again and again, and we can talk about this subject and many other subjects as well. What religion is better? Christianity, Islam, Buddhist? What's your take on it?
I don't think there is any. That's a
loaded question.
That's a loaded question. Yeah, but it's a good question, because it does help me then to respond. And I would have to say that all the religions have something to contribute to my spiritual health. And I don't see one as being more important or more essential than another, except that I have to take into account my own culture and where I was born and raised. And so I feel my obligation now is to really explore Christianity, because that's my home faith, and to really, really do a good job of studying it and making it understandable, first of all, to myself. As it relates to my present experience of having experienced Christ myself, which is a whole nother topic we could spend time on, but I've had some mystical experiences that do persuade me that for me, Christianity is a beautiful faith. I don't have to go beyond that to find it somewhere else. I can bring other things to it, however, and do, and feel free to do that. And what I'm coming up with is a very exciting thing for me. It's the idea of really seeing in my experience now a central point within me that makes all the other religions relevant in some way. So I'm just really working at that with delight and with pleasure all the time. And I'm reminded of Rainer Rilke's poem about living the question. There are many questions that Christianity poses for me, many questions that other faiths pose for me. And I'm delighted I feel good about what I've found out about being able to live with those questions, to live with the questions those faiths bring up for me without having to have an answer. That maybe down the line I will stumble upon an answer, but I don't have to have the answer now. I can live with the questions wonderfully in a gleeful way, and take delight in what it does to me in terms of sparking my own imagination and getting me to read more than I might otherwise read in my effort to really understand things. So I am far from, I'm really happy with the fact there are these different faiths that are resources for me and help me in my understanding. And certainly the use of Buddhism particularly is important because of its focus on the inner self. And that's been tremendously helpful, as have other people that are working with Buddhism and other faiths as well, including yourself, Cornelia. And I wouldn't want to have this segment of the program go by without thanking you personally for all you've meant to me in terms of my own development here, because I don't think without you that I would have gotten to the point where I've gotten now. And it's been so wonderful living in the same house with you for these years and having all the exchanges and conversations and arguments that we have. It just helps to make my life much more meaningful. So I thank you for that right off the top.
And thank you, because without you, I chose you to co-create heaven on earth with and anchor this new frequency in, because that's what we're living now. We're living heaven on earth. Heaven is a state of consciousness, and it's not outside of ourselves. And I chose the best person in the world to do it with, the nicest guy in the world, a person that has unconditional love in the practice in every single day, bringing that love, because that truly is my religion. My religion is love, unconditional love. And I don't have to go and look for it outside of myself, because I am the bringer of it. I bring it. And so because of that practice, I have so much joy in expressing myself in that way. And thank you so much for playing such an amazing part in my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Cornelia.
So let's see. I think we still have some time. It's amazing that no one has called in to claim this $100. I want to tell the story about this, because I'm going to keep bringing this to some of my calls here that I'm doing and offering it as a giveaway. Because that's part of what this program is about, is we're going to be giving away money, books, services, all kinds of amazing things. And so my partner recently came back from, he's a pilot, and he recently came back from his trip, and he received a gift of $100, and he was giving away this $100 to me in appreciation, just because. And it was just such an incredible thing. And he also gave $100 to Bob. And so, that was just an amazing thing to witness, because I saw him give $100 to Bob, and he's giving $100 to me just to give. It was actually $102 with a $2 bill in there too. And then Bob right away turns around and gives me his $102. And now I'm the receiver of $204. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many things that I have that I could be using that money for and spending that money. And I want to do the same thing. I wanted to pay it forward, and I wanted to give it to one of you. And nobody called today. So now I'm going to be bringing it to another call. And but what a wonderful way to share this experience out. Wasn't that a fantastic experience for you also, Bob?
It really was. That was wonderful for Brian to come back and to spring this on us, surprised us, such a wonderful gift. He had been gifted, and he in turn gifted us. And there's a principle in that I really love. It's just the giving that keeps on giving, and the wonderful fun that you have in that whole process. I just told you the story today of the $20 bills, and the same kind of thing that has gone on. Just a story after story just comes off from that initial gift, and it's just a wonderful way to live.
It's a wonderful way when we're giving from a full cup, We're giving from a full cup, from an infinite flow of abundance, the abundance and the truth of living in our integrity, and that is in alignment with divine will, higher will, living from our heart. It's been a wonderful conversation with you today. You're one of my favorite people, and I love you.
You're one of my favorites. Love you.
Okay. We'll see you again soon. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.